three thoughts that I just want to share. And the first thought is this. I don't know if I ever like say this publicly or so, like from here, but do you guys know that we really love you? We really love each and every one of you. I love each and every one of you. And I really appreciate every one of you. Yeah. And I think there's something, and it just to say it, and to know that we appreciate, and I think I speak for the rest of the elders, that we love each and every one of you. And the Lord loves you, and you are precious to Him. You are so precious to Him. He gave His Son for you. And we are family. And I just felt, as I was preparing this, I just felt the Lord says, Maurice, just tell people you love them. And so I love you. I love each and every one of you. And that's a very quick thought, but I just want to throw it out. I hope you love me back. Okay, but I really mean that. I really mean that. I love each and every one of you. Yeah, if I go through the faces, and I actually can say, hey, Derek, I love you. Reynard, I love you. I can just go through the names. Stuart, I love you in the Lord. Tian, I love you in the Lord. Juan, I love you. Franz, I love you. Jason, all of you, we really appreciate. Leap students, I love you. we really, yeah, no, it's just, we love each and every one of you. I think Juliet would say the same. So yeah, just thank you for laying your lives down with us for Jesus and serving with us and just loving Jesus with us. So it's really a privilege. The second thought I had, yeah, it's not really a preach. It's just two, three thoughts that I just want to launch this morning, is parenting hearts and not behavior. Have you ever heard that phrase, that the parents among you, us here, have you ever realized, just coming in, like, I've realized this as a new father of a early, what's the right English, a young father, thank you, Julie, is that you have a mindset of what you think parenting should be. So then you come in, and like, I've grown up in a time where you just, I mean, you luister of das gevolge. And there was like a lot of like behavior. My behavior needs to line up with, and no, the Bible speaks about obedience. And obedience, if you obey and honor your parents, you will have a long life. It's got a promise. So it is, there's truth in that. But something I realized, that in real life, parenting children, that it's not just parenting their behaviors, it's parenting their hearts. So Joel, come stand here with me. This young man has taught me this. I've seen in just being his father, it's like, if the times when I did not have his heart, his behavior wasn't going with that. But the times, he knows what's the right thing to do. But when our hearts are knitted, it's almost automatically he gives himself. And he pours himself out. And I had to realize this, that as a parent, I can't force certain things on my children so that they will behave better. I need to have a relationship with their hearts so they can give themselves for us and follow us as their parents. And you've done a great job. Yeah. And I want to honor you just because it's your birthday today, but yeah, he's grown so much but you've taught me this. Thank you. that in a leader, and being a leader, is it's not just about wanting people to do what you say, but you need to have one another's hearts. And thank you for teaching me that, Joel. And thank you for giving your heart and allowing me to be your dad. thanks. That's just what I wanted to say. I love you, Joel David. I love you very much. I really love you. And I really appreciate you. I got quite emotional last night when I thought about this. I really love you very much. Don't get emotional now. We see this in God the Father also. The first discipline case that ever happened in the Bible was in Genesis. We have this scenario where God tells, you can eat of everything in the Bible, in the garden. You can eat of everything in the Bible, that's true also. But you're not allowed to eat of that one tree. And so we all know the snake came and said, and we had some dreams about snakes in the midst, like, and the snake came and he lured Eve's heart away, enticed her to actually grab hold of that fruit, and she sinned. And then she took the fruit to Adam, and he sinned also. And then you see God arriving on the scene in Genesis 3, verse 8. It says, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden, and in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? It wasn't, what have you done? Why did you do that? It was a relational question. Where are you? Because if I have your heart, you will follow me. You will obey. You will give yourself. The what have you done question came a bit later. But the first question was, where are you? And I believe God is that kind of father to us also. And sometimes we try so hard to change our behavior. We know what's the right thing to do. But if we lose sight of who he is, it's very difficult to do the right thing. Because, I mean, if your heart is not in a good place, even though you know what's the right thing to do, you will not do that. Because, in a sense, your heart is rebelling. But if you've given your heart, your actions will follow. And so this whole concept of parenting hearts and not behavior, I want to speak to the parents here today. And I want to say, if your child is not maybe easy to lead or to parent, find the key to their hearts. They will be disciplined. I mean, we see God did discipline Adam and Eve, but his starting point is relationship. It's a relational question of where is your heart. So I want to speak to the parents. I say, every child has gold in them. If you find the key to their hearts, you will unlock that. And then I'm hearing God's asking us, where are you, Nilan? Where are you, Anne? Where are you, Stuart? Where are you, Tian? Not that I know of stuff. I'm just saying, like, relationally, that's the Father. He's after our hearts. And you look at Acts 2. Before I go to Acts 2, it's like, it was that, where are you, Adam, was a relational question. And where, what do you have done, is a behavioral question. Why did you do it? And so, if you look at the early church in Acts 2, they just encountered the Holy Spirit. It just turned their world upside down. There was something of the Holy Spirit that just, I mean, the Holy Spirit got poured out. They were waiting. They were praying for this. And then Peter got up and he preached this amazing sermon. The guy who denied Jesus 3 times, he stood up and he preached this amazing sermon. And it says the people who said, they were cut to the heart. It says, what should we do? And they say, repent and be baptized. And then the very next verses, you find a people that says, and they devoted themselves. They gave themselves. When they saw the Lord, it was automatically that their hearts followed. And you know, sometimes we can come, don't gossip, don't steal, don't this, do that, don't this. I mean, we had some of these things in our midst, lost gossiping, murmuring. And so if we can focus the whole time on the behavior, but what's that going to change? But when we change our hearts, see, nobody can force you to give your heart. You make a decision in your heart that you give yourself. And so we as elders can't tell you, hey, do this. I can't force you. But if when you give your heart, nothing will stop. We sit here today because 3,000 people were added. They didn't have a manual about how to meet together as a church, like meet in one another's home. They were all in awe. There were signs. They didn't have that manual, but they saw him. And their hearts followed. And then the church exploded. And I believe there's a key for us as a church in this. Is that, where's your heart at this moment? How's it going with your times with the Lord? You will see your behaviors will follow in the same manner. If it's devoted and giving, you give yourself. Devotion means I give myself. I devote myself. It's not something that somebody puts on me. I make that decision. I want to give fully unto the Lord. And I think the question that we need to ask ourselves is, where is our hearts? In Matthew 15, there's a scripture. It speaks about the Pharisees were telling the people, it's not okay to honor your parents if you have money. First give unto the Lord. And Jesus spoke into that situation and he says, you hypocrites, you have made the traditions of man more important than what God is. And then we find in Matthew 15, verse 7 to 9, well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. There will only be lip service if our hearts are far from the Lord. Hi, broer. Hi, sister. Is this weer by kerk vandaag? It's not real. It's lip service. We honor the Lord with our lips, but our hearts. And I think the Lord is wanting our hearts. And that's why we want to actually put our time this morning to worship. To give ourselves, to give our hearts, and to give ourselves in a time of worship. And I want to finish off by sharing just what happened to us last weekend. So usually when we go on holiday, there's something interesting that happens. Like the previous time we went to Montague, I had a fish hook in my eye, almost burned down the tent with a gas thing. And so we were praying before this last week and said, Lord, please, we just want to go and rest. No action. No thing that's going to happen that's going to be like steal our rest. Because I think the enemy always just tries to hinder our rest when we put our time to go and rest. So we went camping last weekend. Now, in the week, let me tell you, I want to be vulnerable. I felt beginning of last week that I need to rest. I was feeling things are getting too much for me. I'm feeling overwhelmed. And I'm just going through things. And I'm just like, just do the next thing. And it's just like going to the next thing. And I was seeing this, oh, Acer Fontaine, here we come, kind of scenario. And I think, yeah, we're gonna camp and we're going to rest. But the problem is when we arrived in Azerfontein, all of us, I mean, we as a whole family, Julie was an angel. She was amazing. But the rest of us, we could see it was a busy season. I don't know if you've had, like, there was a lot happened in this. So we, and a lot is revealed while you pitch a tent. Have you ever experienced that? So Luckily, there was no bombs that went off crazily, but it was difficult. And I was like, why am I doing this? I don't want to be here. I want to pitch this tent. And I was like feeling frustrated in myself and like, is this anything going to be good out of this weekend? And we all were like, we're on edge. Like, you can, except Julie. She was like, come guys. She's like, hold this. She was, I mean, if it wasn't for it, I think it probably would have been Chris. And she was also tired. But I was like trying to manage these things, and the sweat is running, putting up the tent, and it's hard work. And then we said, before we're going to do lunch, let's just go to the beach. So we walked to the beach, and as we came over that bridge, I don't know if you've been at IJsselfontein, you just see the ocean. When our feet touched the sand, and the sand in your toes, no? I don't know, it was just amazing. And then we started walking next to the beach, and you hear the ocean roar. And suddenly all those things start just dripping out. It is just, Bethany, there was something of when we behold what God has made, that all the frustrations and the things in our hearts just started leaking and blowing out of our hearts. And you know, when we came back to the camp, we were all different people. My kids were best friends this whole weekend. They were best friends. And we were best friends. And it was just, it was so good. And I mean, Kenny and Lushal was also with us. Did we do okay? Okay. So they were watching us there, just like sure. But it was just so good for ourselves to get away. And the reason why I'm sharing this story, because I think some of us need a moment like that. Not IJsselfontein. That might also be great. But that you will look at him this morning with your whole heart. Because those things that is the behavioral things that you're trying to trying your best to not do that. Don't eat the apple, you eat the apple. It's like these things that you just don't sin. If you look at him, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. So we want to push away. And I think when we're going to push away the chairs, I actually want you to see I'm pushing away things that's been luring my heart away, and my behavior has been following that. And I've been trying to be a good person. I've been trying to be a good husband. I've been trying to be a good parent. But just to look at him and trust him to come and grab hold of your heart this morning. And I cannot give your heart on behalf of you. Only you can do it. Only you have the ability to give your heart fully to the Lord. Yo, this is actually becoming a preach. I've got one more story. When I was a kid, I just got saved. And there's a purpose to the story. It's not a random story. There was a lot of chaos in the house many times. There was alcohol involved. There was aggression, shouting, a lot of things. And before I knew the Lord, I usually would get involved in these fights. So try to get old people out of one another's spaces. And then I got saved, and I just got this desire to start playing guitar. So my dad bought me a guitar. And then my strategy changed. So whenever there was chaos in the house, I took my guitar, I walked away from the fight, and I walked into the presence of the Lord. And I, to be honest, I didn't know how to sing at that moment or that time. I didn't know how to play guitar. So it wasn't a beautiful. But I know it was beautiful to the Lord because my heart was poured out before Him. And many times when I did that, the chaos in the house stopped. It stopped. Everything quieted down. The moment when I started looking, the chaos in the house stopped. And then many times, nothing happened, but I changed. And I learned as a young believer that if I do not look at Him, I will not make it. My heart, I cannot give my heart. I don't get depressed much, but 2 weeks ago, one day, sometimes just a few hours, but but that one day, I heard a lot of things. And you think most of the time, it's like sometimes it's things like people's things, and you carry people in their hearts, and it's heavy. It's like, that's why I say I love you, because I pray for you. I want you to see the more of God in your life. I want you to step into the more. And then sometimes these things do get too heavy for me, and I fall in the trap to put it on myself. And so that day, I felt heavy. I felt like, and then I realized, okay, no. Next morning, 4 o'clock, I was up. I was praying in tongues for an hour. After that, the whole thing broke. And that's the thing is, there's a power, and when you pray and when you look upon Jesus. So I'm trusting now, if we're going to push away this chairs, you're going to make a decision. How are you going to give your heart? I can't do it for you. And it's not about the jumping and the shouting. It's about realness. Because you can worship Him with your lips, but your hearts can be far from Him. It's about hearts this morning. And God is asking, like He asked Adam, where are you? What is your heart? If it's not in a good place, look at Him. Look at Him. In your marriages, look at Him. In your work situations, look at Him. In your finances, look at Him. In your parenting, look at Him. Look at God. Can we do that? All right. So, Father, I just pray, when we get up here, we're going to move the chairs around. I pray that You will come and move our hearts. We want to give our hearts, we want to give ourselves to You, and that You will come and do something special this morning. And I pray that something of what happened in Acts 2, that they devoted themselves, I pray that something of that will happen. And Lord, we're going to wait on You for that this morning, to come and do that in our lives. So Lord, I pray that You will come and break off things that's been enticing us and holding us away. And I just want to even pray right now, Lord. I know there's some demons that's not going to like this happening right now. So I pray in the name of Jesus, You will not steal what the Lord. I take authority. You will not come and steal. There will be hearts connecting with Jesus right now in Jesus' name. So Father, we just trust You right now. This is Your moment. This is Your moment. Come and do in us what You have purposed and planned, Lord. We are Yours, Lord. Our hearts are Yours. Where will we go? You have the words of life. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Come in, King of glory. We open up the gates for You to come in into our lives. We give our hearts. Thank You, Jesus. Can I ask the worship team to come to the front?